Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Glad to be with you all. You know, it's been a long time, but I remember very well my first year at Bible school, my second year and third year. I went three different years, and the good times that we had and the impact it had on my life. This morning, I'd like to speak about discipleship. And I know one of the things that was very important to me as a 16-year-old was getting my driver's license. And I studied that handbook, and we didn't have to get a permit that time, but if you were good enough or smart enough or lucky enough, you could go and get your driver's license the same day. I mean, just do it all. And so that was my goal. And we had just moved here to Missouri, and my mother and my father were both needing to get their Missouri driver's license. And so we were all, Dad, of course, had driven for a lot of years. But we were all went to the courthouse and did our written test, and I passed mine, Mom passed hers. But Dad, the one that had the most experience, didn't pass his. Missed some easy questions. Well, they weren't really easy, they were just technical questions of like, how close do you have to be to dim your lights? When do you have to dim your lights for somebody? And when you're coming up from behind him. He missed some easy ones like that. But I made mine, and I passed the driving test. And so I got my driving test. I got my driver's license the first time. And I was pretty pleased about that. But when you replace knowledge with confidence, you don't have a very good mixture. And so it wasn't very long till I did something stupid on a curve and I had an accident. And I went to Dad went with me to court. I got cited for that. And I think the judge had mercy on us on our financial end of it. He didn't fine me anything. But he said I had to write that entire Missouri handbook and hand it in a month. And so there went all my spare time. I wrote that book. I copied every word, and he checked it out. And I took it back, big fat notebook, at the end of the month. And I don't remember everything that's in there, but I learned a lot more. And I learned some important things. One thing is that you're not a good driver if you just have the knowledge. You're not a good driver if you just have the knowledge. And so this morning, I'd like to do a little interactive thing. I'm going to take this front row boys and this front row girls. And I don't know your names, so you just have to speak up. But do any of you not have a driver's license? Okay. You tell me one thing that you would tell somebody, that a driving tip that you would give to somebody if they didn't know anything about driving. Zero, okay? What is one thing that you would tell them to do? Now, we'll start down there at the end. What is one thing that you would tell them to do? Pay attention to the road signs. Good thing. What about? Let's come over here and get one of the girls. What would you tell them to do? Watch your speed. Boy, that's good. Okay. I'm sorry? Keep your head on a swivel. Okay, keep your head on a swivel. Be aware of what's going around you. All right.
Yeah, just keep your eyes on the road.
okay? Keep your eyes on the road.
Be confident in your driving, but don't go past what you're confident in
doing. Okay, be confident in your driving, but don't go past that, okay? I'm sorry? Okay, very much the same thing there. Good. Don't go beyond what you're able to, all right? Back over here again.
Stay off the phone.
Stay off the phone. I'm sorry, I can't hear very well. Be careful about driving in town, especially much, yes. All right.
Pay attention to the stoplights.
All right. Okay, use your blinkers when you're turning. All right?
Drive defensively.
I mean, watch out for the other person. Keep your eyes on the road.
Don't drive if you're too tired.
Okay, be mindful of the other cars around you. All right? That's right. Use that gas pedal right, all right. Use only 1 foot for the gas and the brake pedals. Okay?
Brake pedal on the left.
Okay. Not sure what you meant by that one. Okay. All right. Brake pedal on the left, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes, okay. Okay, don't forget about the gas pedal. When you pull out in front of a semi, get moving. That's something that old people do. They just get out and poke along, but young people don't usually have that problem. All right.
I'm giving other people rides, so I'll get into too good a conversation so you get distracted.
Okay. I'm going to leave out the conversation part, but I'd say don't be distracted, okay? Don't get distracted. All right. Over here. Be careful on icy roads. And what more?
Watch for jaywalkers.
Okay, now there's lots of bits of information. If we could compile all of these and give it to somebody that doesn't have a driver's license, would that make them a driver? Probably not. And we could go through the whole. All of you could give little bits of information, and you still wouldn't have a driver. Well, you know, discipleship is very much the same way. You can have a lot of knowledge in your head, but until you actually practice it, it just becomes, that's all it is, it's just knowledge in your head. So if someone asks you who you are, do you identify yourself first as, let's say somebody wants to know, are you a Mormon? What would you say? You have long dresses, you girls have long dresses and long hair. Are you a Mormon? What would you tell them? Anybody? Okay. Would you say anything else? Just no. Okay, thank you. Perfect. You're my granddaughter. Tell them you're a Christ follower. That's the best answer you can give them. If you could say you're a Mennonite. You could say you're a Christian. But I'm going to tell you that, you know, who were the first Christians? The disciples were first called disciples before they were Christians. And so being a Christ follower is the most important thing that you can tell somebody or that you can be. Okay. So this morning I'd like to speak about how it becomes natural. Now, you go out into your car and you might think about turning the key on. You might think about how you're going to do. You might be intentional about your driving. But after it becomes a part of you, you're not really that intentional about it. It just comes naturally. And that's what I'd like to think about when when you're thinking about discipleship. You have to be intentional. But it becomes a part of you, and it becomes natural. It becomes your natural reaction and your natural inclination to do the right thing. Before we get away from here, they say that a person dies every 39 minutes on the road from a drunk driving accident. Now, hopefully that shouldn't be any of our experiences, to be cause somebody's death by drunk driving. But it's important to realize that there's dangers out there, and some of you said to drive defensively, so we need to do that. But our real danger, I mean, if we could eliminate that danger completely from the highways, there would still be lots of other dangers out there. And so this morning I'd like to think about the blessing of discipleship being not just something that is good for this life, but something that has eternal benefits. If we could come up with a cure for cancer, for example, that would be a fantastic breakthrough in the medical field. But we have a cure for human ills that's much deeper than that. And that is being a Christ follower. Okay, the definition of Christian discipleship is a follower or a student of a teacher. And it is embracing Jesus Christ as Lord of our life. One of the things that has followed me through life, and that's the story of the five missionaries in Ecuador that were killed, and we just came past that anniversary, January 8, 1956. There were five missionaries that were trying to reach the Wadani, the Aka Indians in Ecuador. And on the morning that they left, one of the wives asked her husband, he says, "What shall I do if you don't come back?" And he responded, "To teach the believers, to disciple the believers." And that's what she did when they didn't come back. And so discipleship is something that is a part of our life. It becomes our identity. It becomes our life. You know, when a person becomes old and disabled and family has to take his driving privileges away, it becomes pretty crippling to that person. And you're way back there, you don't see ahead to this part of it yet, but you know that's pretty tough when someone can't go where they want to go and so on. That's because that has become a part of their identity as well, to be independent and go when they want to. But we will never lose our driving privileges with discipleship. We will always be a disciple to the end of our life. So let's think about some of the things. Think about the commitment and cost. Jesus consistently taught that discipleship demands self-denial and devotion. In Matthew 26 and Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And I think that's what those missionaries in Ecuador discovered when they were they were there just trying to make contact with the Indians, and they were speared to death, and they had made their resolve beforehand that they would not use force. They were not non-resistant necessarily. They did have weapons, but they decided not to use them in self-defense. And so they were truly non-resistant, I guess you could say, in that case. But that wasn't a part of their doctrine. But that was a part of their life. And so they were disciples in the real sense there. Jesus said that whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Many years later, one of the sons was leading a group of college students down to Ecuador to meet some of these people. It was about 40 or 50 years later. And he told them a few stories about how these people lived and walked. And they were a group from Seattle, and they were anxious to meet them. And so he said, well, ask this person. He was the person that was guiding them. And so they did. They asked him about that person at one night around the campfire. They were camping there, and they said, oh, yes, this person, my father was speared, and my uncle was speared, and so on. It's a lot of their family. And they had their own special way of talking. And so they asked the next person, he says, oh, yes, my father, they had different family members that were speared to death there, and so on. And so they're getting really worried about all of these, how dangerous this could be for them to be going down there with all of these people being killed just in this recent past. But then this man that had so many, I think it was a woman in this case, had so many tragedies in her family, talked to these students about walking God's trail and telling them that, if they are disciples, if they walk after God's trail, they don't have to worry about those things, and they can be. And she showed these people what it was like to follow God's markings. They call the Bible God's markings, marking his trail. And some of you said, pay attention to the road signs. That's what they were doing here. And these people were right in the middle of these people that used to kill each other, and now they were loving each other. It's a transformation of what the gospel had done for them. Okay, for being a disciple, the first thing we do is Jesus is first in our life. He's the most important thing. And Mark 8, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We read that in Matthew. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Put Jesus first. That's the thing that's the most important in discipleship. Follow his teachings, Jesus says. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God treasures and requires and loves obedience. And that is just, and we do that by knowing his word, getting into his word, and then following it. "Whosoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me," John says, John 14, 21 says. And then doing that, we will be fruit-bearing. And that's a mark of the disciple, to bear fruit. To bear fruit is to show the virtues that Jesus had said are fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And we know what those are. Those are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Paul says in Galatians that there is no law against those. But Jesus, in John chapter 15, showed how that being connected to the vine is what produces fruit. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." And so, a disciple is someone that is bearing fruit, is someone that has the virtues of the Holy Spirit's fruit in their life, and is, you know, the fruit is for those around us. Those are the people that are going to benefit from the fruit that is in our life. It also benefits us, but it benefits those around us. So if we're just bristly and prickly and nobody wants to be close to us, not a fruit bearer, because fruit is lovely. Okay, the other thing is to love the other disciples. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know," I'm sorry, "as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that if ye have love one to another." And so, one of the earmarks of a true disciple is his love for his fellow disciples. That is something that goes throughout, on through life. And then making disciples of others. And the last words we have of Jesus in the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." There, the last recorded words that Matthew records here is, "Go and teach, baptize in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things." You know, the best word for teach is to show how to do. And one of the ways that a nun driver can learn how to drive is to watch a good driver. Just to observe, to show how to do. And that's what we do in our life. and living our life as a Christian, we can show those around us how to do, just without saying a word. Somebody has said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. But that's the call for the Christian, is to live our life in a way that other people know where your allegiance is, who you love, and use words if necessary. And so this morning, as you are Christ followers, may your life be a blessing to those around you, and I trust that your life will be enriched with the blessings that God has for you. I just want to wish you the best, and God bless you through this term and as you leave from here. And may you leave more committed, more devoted, more surrendered, and more of a blessing than when you came. God bless you all. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, as we bow before you, we want to thank you for the love that you've allowed us to share this morning. We pray that you might just bless the student body, bless the faculty, all that is involved for the time here. May this be a growing experience, and may your name be glorified in all that is done. We ask it in your name, amen.